Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Saturday, April 3rd. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you are having a great start to your weekend. It should hopefully be a weekend full of good weather. You know, I think that we're supposed to get some good weather, you know, finally on a weekend here in the Mid-South area. But wherever you are listening, hope that the weather is doing well for you. You're getting off to a great start. Hopefully not too many scares on April Fool's Day. But since we are in the month of April, obviously plenty of fun this weekend with baseball, the NCAA basketball tournament's going on. Obviously a big upset last night with Arizona over UConn. Congratulations to the Lady Wildcats as they made the national championship. But baseball, basketball, NCAA-wise, and of course NBA basketball. And we get to start the weekend off on a good note talking about a Grizzlies win, but that's not the best note that came from yesterday. We'll get into that in today's show. In the first segment, I'm going to talk all about the Jaren Jackson Jr. press conference, a surprise to many of us in the media that were there to cover yesterday's shoot-around press conferences. We'll get into three things to take away from that. That's going to be our theme for the show in the second segment. Three things to look at from the Grizzlies' big win, needed win, over the Timberwolves. It was a game where the Grizzlies got back on track in several needed areas before they start taking on a very tough part of their schedule in April. And in the third segment, we'll talk exactly about that. The first real test of this month of April as the Grizzlies go on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll look into all that as the show goes on. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app. Wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we are. Please listen, subscribe, review. Let us know what you think. We're always wanting to provide our listeners with content that is relevant to their preferences. Well, yesterday I had a shoot around, and normally in these shoot around sessions, you know, we usually get have the ability to talk to at least one individual. And you know, when it's come to Minnesota, you know, this year, one of the players that we've talked to, of course, with him being from the area and it being his former team, is Tyus Jones. And so we were talking with Tyus. It was a lot of fun. You know, Tyus was in good spirits, really hit on the fact that the Grizzlies were looking to get back on track tonight. And, you know, not to give too much of a spoiler alert, he certainly did. We'll get into that in a bit. But as we were finishing up, we looked for the next person to come sit down, and it was Jaren Jackson Jr. And I know that from people that I talked to during the day, there were a few of us who had to do a double take. It was Jaren Jackson Jr. who had sat down to talk to the media for the first time since October. Typically, for those, this is my first year actually being in these media sessions, but you know, one thing that is, you know, seemed pretty clear is that if a player is out due to injury, typically they don't talk to the media, just, you know, as a matter of the fact that they're trying to get back to normal. You know, also, you know, just to be honest, the teams, you know, do not want for those players, you know, to be subjected to, you know, information being asked about them and things like that when it's just unclear what's going on. And we've seen the Grizzlies go through plenty of that, you know, this year, unfortunately, with the injuries that occur. But it was Jaren who sat down for the first time since October, and it was great to see. You know, I told Jaren myself, and I'll get into my question in just a second that I asked him, but it was just great to see him. It was a really good sign. You know, I remember when Justice did it, you know, back in January when he sat down and talked with us. It was a relief to see a player who we've all been waiting to see, who we all know is very important to the present and future of the Grizzlies, take a seat with us. It's a good sign that things are getting close to the end as far as his injury goes. Well, several of the media, you know, folks talked about it. You know, and the first, you know, thing that really took away was, you know, the injury itself. Jaren talked about, you know, when he got injured, you know, he didn't really know that he had got injured during the game. If I remember correctly, I feel like that what had injured him was he was going up for a rebound, going up for a dunk or something like that. Anywho, it was a leap, and Jaren came down and fell hard in the third game of the bubble. I believe it was against New Orleans. He came down and fell hard. And that's what basically, you know, caused the, you know, partial tear with his meniscus. He finished that game, but he stated at the end of the day it was kind of a surprise, you know, to him. I don't necessarily know if it was a surprise, but he didn't realize the extent to what damage had been caused, you know, until after the game, until he had got done playing. I don't really think anybody did, because it caught many of us by surprise after it was announced. But he talked about the fact that it was a surprise, and he talked about the fact, you know, that, you know, kind of, you know, like Zach Kleiman had mentioned, you know, a few days ago, from the beginning, the plan all along is that it was going to take a while for Jaren to come back. I wouldn't be so Jaren didn't really hint at this, but I wouldn't be surprised if the process took longer than many anticipated. But the whole goal all along, as Jaren stated, was that he wanted to be at 110%. He wanted to make sure that he was ready to go and that he was at 110% so that when he did come back, there was no risk, no worry for potential future injury, and that he was as good as new and ready to go. He did say that basically it was a tough experience. It was a it was a lot of emotion because he's been wanting to get out there and play. He's been wanting to, really focus on, doing everything that he could to get out there and play, and just the, inability for that option to be there, for as long as, he's been without having that option there, which has nearly been for, 3.5 months now. He said it was a tough process, and so he was excited that he's now close to getting done. And basically, he as far as that segment of the conference with him, he basically said he felt that April was going to be a good month for him, and that he's very soon, by the end of the month, he would be back. The second thing, after talking about, kind of all that he had went through, he said his family had supported him, his teammates had supported him, so on and so forth. Jaren talked about, what it would be like to come back. He felt as if, when he came back, that his teammates were certainly going to support him. He knows that it's going to be a process getting back. He knows that, his teammates are going to be there for him when it comes to, helping him get the flow of the offense, helping him get within, the rhythm, and helping him get back to the regular productive player that he is. He also talked about that, since he had been away from, playing, he's really gotten stronger, in a lot of different ways. His game's gotten stronger, mentally gotten stronger, physically gotten stronger. He's had a regimen in place that has allowed for him to keep developing and keep improving, his health, his, strength, his physical and mental capacity for the game. He said that he's stayed just fine mentally from the support of his teammates and through supporting them. And he also stated that, he's really excited to get back. He stated that he's excited, to do his part with rim protection and other things when it comes to helping a Grizzlies defense that has really emerged and is really playing well. So he's excited to get back. He's really excited. He's looking forward to coming back and contributing what he could. And he knows that, despite not playing, he's worked on a lot of things with the staff, and he's really looked forward to every time that he's gotten the ability to continue to develop his game, because he knows when he comes back and he's healthy and he's back to who he wants, back to what he was before the injury, he feels he's going to be better than ever. But the third and most important thing that I came away from this, because this, this being my first year being in the media, this was the first time I'd actually had the chance to interact with Jaren, through one of these press conferences. And I put it on Twitter, this guy just seems to be a genuinely good guy. And, you could say that about all the Grizzlies, but, Jaren made it a point, to make sure that it was understood, not in a negative way, but he just made it a point to make it understood that he missed this side of things. Chris Terrington of the Daily Memphian just came out and asked him, what made you speak today? What is special about today? And Jaren just immediately said, I miss you guys. I miss talking with y'all. I miss this part, of the equation. And he made it clear. He missed, he also said he missed the fans being able to enjoy the game. That's kind of what his role has been. That's what he felt his needed role has been with the Grizzlies, is kind of being there for the enthusiasm, the cheering. And, while he knows he can't make up for fans being in the stands, doing all that he can to do that, being that beacon of enthusiasm, that's really what he's taken on, as, encouragement. And, he also talked about, the fact that he loves his teammates. He loves being with his teammates. I asked him directly about his relationship with Xavier Tillman, and it was just like me talking about my best friend or you talking about your best friend. It's great to see, just how impactful that has been. This is truly two best friends who were, as Jaren talked about, back when they were in, 16, 17 years old, they talked about one day being able to play basketball together, and they're able to do that on a daily basis today. He talked about how close he's with Xavier Tillman's family. Xavier talked about it in the post-game press conference, talking about how close, he is. Jaren called Xavier Tillman's two children his niece and nephew. They're like brothers. That's how close they are. And so it was special to see how much, the ability to have his best friend on the team means to Jaren. But just in general, the biggest takeaway from all of this is just how much the current situation with the Grizzlies means to Jaren. How much it means to him in terms of the role that he can play without being on the court, the support that the roster and the coaching staff has shown him while he's been recovering, but also just in general, that when he gets back, the role that he can play being a part of it. And that's what reminds you of two things. Number one, how special the culture is here and how wonderful a development that is to keep these young, unprecedented talents in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant that we've seen, keeping those talents here. And I'm not talking about the long-term future, but keeping them here in terms of their engagement and just how special they are, how much they value things on and off the court. It's clear the reason why they do is because there's so much support between those two and between them and their teammates. That's clearly there. But also, it just reminds you that this is an atmosphere, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is a big part of it, where because of that camaraderie, because of that fraternity, it fuels the development of these players, and that when Jaren Jackson is there, he's so much a part. We talk about the weaknesses of this team, and it comes back to, when Jaren comes back, he's going to make a difference. He's not going to be the solution to all the problems, but he's going to be a big step forward in improving several of the areas where we need to improve. But beyond that, it's so awesome to know that he has such an impact on the court as well as having such a presence off of it. Him and Ja, the rest of them, are so bought into each other, so bought into what was going on, so bought into the process with Taylor Jenkins that it's wonderful to see, and you see why that's a big reason as to why we continue to exceed expectations and why there's so much potential to build on and off the court for this Grizzlies franchise to eventually reach the goal that it has in the future. But the best way for you to reach that goal is to take advantage of what is in front of you right now. And that's what the Grizzlies did last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. A little bit of a step back in competition, a game in which the Grizzlies should have won. And though they did have their struggles, as we've seen them do before, this Grizzlies team, in ways that we've also recently seen before, they were able to get the needed contributions to win. Coming up, I'm going to talk about the Timberwolves game, three things that really stood out, and why we're starting to continue to see a formula come together for this Grizzlies team to be able to get victories that it needs. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have you guys heard about Sporttrade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sporttrade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your sports knowledge. Making money with Sporttrade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance, and each game is compared to the projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher the value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and how their portfolio value rises. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the game at sporttrade.com. As I mentioned early in the segment, it's finally going to be a nice weekend, and I'm sure for many of you that listen to wherever you may be, the spring is now here, and there's probably a lot of things going on the weekends. Well, obviously, with the crazy weather that we have had, hopefully your car has survived just fine, but if it's not and you need repairs, I do have one place for you to go that has you covered for a variety of reasons, and that's rockauto.com. Number one, it's easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you should be able to find what you need, and I say that because it's likely going to have what you need, regardless of the make and model, regardless of the part. RockAuto.com typically has any car part that you need. If you're someone like me who needs others to do repairs for you, if you can do your own repairs, or if you do repairs for others for a living, RockAuto.com is a great place because it's very cost effective. This is a family-owned business that's been around for more than 20 years. They know that car that repairs typically fall out of budget, so they're going to make sure that they have car parts that are reasonably priced. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. So the Grizzlies come into last night's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, 22-23, and they were going to need this was, you know, as I had mentioned in Friday's show, this was a must-win game, in my opinion, for the Grizzlies. And the reason why that is because, you know, I don't mean to be a broken record, but it really was, you know, they need to win as many games in which they are favored as possible to take on, you know, the ability to not be as impacted when they lose some of these expected games during a tough stretch like they're going to be all the way through April until the very end. Well, thankfully, the Grizzlies, you know, did get a needed victory against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the crazy thing is the way that it occurred. Last time the Grizzlies had played against the Timberwolves, their formula to success was getting stops in the fourth quarter, but also producing like crazy from the paint. They set a franchise record of 80 points scored in the one previous game that they had played against the Timberwolves. 80 points scored in the paint. They've recently tied that. I think within the past 2 weeks, I want to say it was against Houston, but anywho, they set a franchise record for points in the paint. They established their strength and got stops when they needed to late in the game. Well, last night, the thing about it is this, is that it actually was the Grizzlies, you know, it wasn't the Grizzlies' strengths. The Grizzlies were outscored in the paint, on the run, and off of turnovers. Three areas where the Grizzlies actually are among the best, if not the best in the NBA, at producing. So the Grizzlies got outscored in all three of those areas, yet they still won the game. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me that says how rare that is, but the thing about it is that the Grizzlies were not being able to perform at their strengths against arguably the worst team in the NBA. Certainly is not something that you want to, you know, see occur, but it was actually nice to see that despite that, the Grizzlies were able to win. And here's a few reasons as to why that was. Number one, the Grizzlies finally got off to a good start in a game again because they were shooting the three well. Overall, I believe that the Grizzlies were 11 or 12 of 19, something along those lines, in the first quarter. They wound up being like 14 of their first 27 from three as the game went along. Overall, 19 of 39 from three, 19 of 35 when the starters and the regular rotation players were in the game. The second highest total that they've had all year, and arguably one of the best shooting nights that they've had in quite a while. So the reason why last night was good to see, despite the Grizzlies not playing to their strengths, was that the way that they were able to win was by taking advantage of the opponent that they were facing and getting back on track in areas where they really struggled in March. You know, we talked about, you know, the fact that this Grizzlies team, you know, the starters, you know, were averaging 5.5 threes per game, and they were also shooting a combined 31% from three. Well, last night, Kyle Anderson had a three. Last night, the Grizzlies overall had nine threes hit. They had nine players hit a three last night. But Kyle Anderson was one from three. Dylan Brooks was two from three. Jonas Valanciunas was one from one. Ja Morant, eight of his last 22 from three, which is a huge encouragement. And then Grayson Allen last night as well also shot well from three. So we're talking about the Grizzlies starters doubling. They made 11 threes last night in the game against the Timberwolves versus averaging about 5.5 per game in March. So the starting lineup for the Grizzlies doubled their league worst 3-point production rate for March in their first game in April. A really encouraging development. But beyond that with the 3-point game was the fact that we got 39 total threes. You know, I mentioned it on Twitter, but Taylor Jenkins mentioned one of the biggest things that stood out to him about this game was not only 19 threes being made, but even more importantly, 39 were attempted. That tells me where Taylor Jenkins wants to eventually take this team, which is a huge benefit to this roster as it continues to evolve to become even more, you know, in line with what's successful today. So that was a big reveal. But it was not just, you know, the fact that the Grizzlies had nine players make threes. It's the fact that their best three-point shooters also shot the three. Desmond Bane had four attempts. Grayson Allen had seven, and DeAnthony Melton had six. 17 attempts from the Grizzlies' three best three-point shooters, and they were 10 of 17 from beyond the arc. And it was both in the first half with Grayson Allen and then in the second half with Desmond Bane. So just incredible balance shooting the three in an area where this Grizzlies team really needed to step up and get it done. And so it was nice to see in a game where they needed to win, they actually were able to do it by featuring weaknesses becoming strengths and improvements, and it really gives them something to build off of going into the rest of April. Well, the second thing that was taken away was the bench. The bench unit stepped up. Tyus Jones, his first double-digit scoring effort in 11 games. Xavier Tillman, his first double-digit scoring effort in quite a while as he got extended run with Jonas getting an early foul trouble, as well as Justice, obviously, you know, being unavailable. That was nice to see for this Grizzlies team. But beyond that, the continued three-point shooting to both Desmond Bane and De'Anthony Melton, though Bane struggled a bit. De'Anthony Melton another game with four threes. And again, the other big thing about the bench unit is, as I had mentioned, you know, on Twitter, and I had asked Tyus about this Grizzlies bench unit, one thing that really had emerged as a strength of theirs in the month of March. Among NBA bench units, the Grizzlies bench unit was first in steals, as they've been all the year long, but they also were fifth in blocks. And last night, they had six more steals, three blocks, so they're creating impact defensive plays that are leading to them getting on the run. And so just overall, it was really nice to see the Grizzlies bench have another dominant game, because against these better teams that they'll be facing, that's one area of advantage that this Grizzlies team has the ability to feature, or has the ability to really take advantage of, is when their second unit is in the game against other teams' second units, that's where this Grizzlies team can create their advantages to hopefully find ways to win. And finally, the third big thing was the defensive stops. You know, Chris Harrington had pointed it out over on Twitter, and as I had mentioned, I had asked Coach about this before, the Grizzlies started off the second half not allowing the Timberwolves to score for at least 5 minutes, I want to say. That is at least the fourth time that I can remember this second half. I can't remember the other game, but against Miami, against Houston earlier this week, and now against Minnesota, the Grizzlies are finding ways, whether it's just keeping the team from scoring a single point for an extended time or going 6 or 7 minutes of a stretch of time in the second half of games where they're just not allowing the other team to score, this Grizzlies team is finding success and getting the stops that it needs to go on the 12-2 runs, to go on the 15-2 runs, whatever it may be. And a lot of times it's happening at the end of the third quarters. That's what happened against Miami when Ja Morant basically took over the game. He took over the game last night. I believe the Grizzlies had like a 12-2 or 13-2 run, something along those lines, both to start the first and to start the third and to end the third. And Ja had like seven of the Grizzlies' last 11 points, both scoring and passing. But it's getting those long stretches of defensive stops. I asked Coach Jenkins about it the other night, this strategy of getting three straight stops and why the Grizzlies have found so much success doing it in the second half. And he just says that adjustments allow for them to lock in. And those halftime adjustments are really allowing for the Grizzlies to be able to stop the opposition from scoring, to get their offense going. And that's when the Grizzlies are either extending leads to earn wins are coming back in games to be competitive to get wins. Even in games in March where they did not win, those type of defensive efforts really helped them out against the Bucks, helped them out against the Nuggets to allow for them to come back and have chances at winning games. So those are three big takeaways. The ability to improve on areas of weakness to start off April in terms of, you know, first half starts, shooting the three, the bench unit coming back alive to really be the clear advantage that this Grizzlies team is going to need all month long, and then obviously the defense getting long stretches of stops to give the offense the chance to get going and take over the game, and that's what allowed for the Grizzlies to win tonight. But coming up, they're going to need to be even more focused on doing the exact same thing, as they will be facing a Philadelphia 76ers team on Easter that is locked in and is one of the best teams in the NBA. But the Grizzlies may have a little bit of luck like they did last time in terms of who will be available for the 76ers to play. We'll talk about that and much more here in the third segment of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I've been talking with you for a while now about Built Bar. The Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the best protein bar on the market for a while now. And Built Bar is an amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasty protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars. And the thing, all its bars, and the thing about it is it doesn't matter when you have it during the day. Have it for breakfast. Have it in the afternoon as a snack. Before or after a workout, however you choose to enjoy it, Built Bar is a great addition to your day. And the thing about it is they've had their own March Madness tournament, and we finally know who is the best tasting protein bar. Now, this wouldn't be my choice, but it certainly has been the choice for all of the Built Bar customers that participated in the voting, and it's Coconut Brownie Chunk. But even if that is not your taste of preference, they have 18 different flavors you could choose from at BuiltBar.com. Just go to BuiltBar.com or at @bar_built on Twitter and find out which flavor makes the most sense for you. And while you're there, put in the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. And if you do that, I feel that you're going to be able to really benefit your day by picking something that's going to be there to stay as far as Built Bar goes. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Some exciting tournament action going on this weekend when it comes to the NCAA tournament. The great thing about it is no matter how you choose to enjoy the NCAA tournament, if waging and betting are a part of your is a part of your routine of being a sports fan, I've got the one place that has you covered, and it's BetOnline.ag. But think about it is it's not just the NCAA tournaments. Baseball's back. Basketball and NHL are in their stretch runs. The UFC is happening every weekend. Soccer all around the world. Doesn't matter what sport you cheer for or what athletes you love, BetOnline has you covered. It even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports books experts. Again, go to the website or through your mobile device, use the promo code Locked On and get 50% off your next order from, or get 50% off your first deposit at BetOnline. So the Grizzlies are going into the Easter Sunday. By the way, to all our listeners, happy Easter to you, obviously. Before tomorrow, we're coming to you on Saturday, and tomorrow, of course, is Easter Sunday. So the Grizzlies will be playing the Philadelphia 76ers on Easter Sunday. But with it being Saturday, I do think that it's going to be very interesting to see how the Philadelphia 76ers game today actually plays out. The reason why is this. This same Timberwolves team that traveled to Memphis and played the Grizzlies last night, they will be playing the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. And the reason why it's a big deal is because it will mark the return, the expected return of Joel Embiid, who has been out now for, I believe, nearly a month, at least 2 weeks. He injured his knee back on March 13th, was looked to get it reevaluated 2 weeks after that. There had been rumors that he would be looking to come back this weekend. We'll see what occurs. Now, it'll be interesting to see for a variety of reasons. Number one, if he returns tomorrow night, does that mean that on the second night of a back-to-back, like we'll be facing against the 76ers on Sunday, does that mean he'll be available for the Grizzlies game? You know, obviously we don't know as of right now. Or if for some reason he doesn't play tomorrow night, since the 76ers will be playing a stronger opponent in the Grizzlies on Sunday, could the 76ers, you know, wait to bring him back on Sunday? We don't know the answers to these questions yet, but it will be interesting to see what develops later on today as the Grizzlies play the Philadelphia 76ers. Regardless, you know, whether or not Joel Embiid is in the lineup or not, if he is, you know, that certainly is, you know, not good news for the Grizzlies with just how impactful and just how well he has played. We're probably not going to get to see him, you know, at his full 100% potential. But regardless of whether or not he plays, this Grizzlies team does have experience against the 76ers team, but they're going to have to play to their strengths. They're going to have to play a level of basketball like they did against the Jazz last weekend and on Wednesday night for stretches where they were able to play their own style of games and be able to find success. So they didn't win the games against the Jazz. You know, on Easter Sunday, this Grizzlies team could put itself in position to win by simply playing their style of basketball. For one, the Grizzlies' ability to create turnovers once again could help them out in this game, just like it did back in January. It was January 16th. It was actually Ja Morant's first game back after his ankle injury. Joel Embiid did not play in that game. But this Grizzlies team did a great job, especially in the lane, getting a lot of hands on passes, getting a lot of hands to alter shots. This Philadelphia 76ers team, one of their weaknesses is turning the ball over. And of course, we know the Grizzlies' strength is creating turnovers. So that could really play a part in this matchup. Because the other thing that's also there with these two teams, these two teams are two of the lower frequency teams when it comes to shooting threes. The 76ers have done a really good job. In the month of March, they made 38% of their threes, almost 11.5 threes made per game. Seth Curry, obviously, being back in the fold, helps that out. But this 76ers team, while they are improving their ability to shoot from three, they still are not a team that really features that part of the game. they do a really good job of producing in the paint. As a matter of fact, when it comes to two-point attempts, they are sixth in the league in two-point attempts on the season, or fifth in two-point attempts on the season, sixth in two-pointers made, and they're also 13th in the league in two-point percentage. The big area where they can find success, though, since they don't find a lot of it beyond the arc, is they actually now are they're second in the league when it comes to free throw attempts and free throws made per game, and they now actually are 13th in the league when it comes to three-point field goal percentage. So though they don't shoot a lot of threes, they are becoming better beyond the three, but they focus a lot on getting into the paint, getting into the rim, and if they don't make their shots, they make up for it by having a lot of frequent free throw attempts. So that's something that this Grizzlies team is really going to have to focus on in this game. It's going to need to be, they're going to have to absolutely be focused on protecting the paint on defense, a lot like Minnesota did against the Grizzlies. That's where they're going to need to have success. So creating turnovers on defense, finding success, you know, being able to protect the paint, being able to make shots difficult without fouling is going to be huge. Against Minnesota, the Grizzlies did get to a bit of foul trouble, and so they've got to avoid doing that tomorrow night, especially with Jonas Valanciunas and others. You know, we know the Grizzlies can effectively defend, but they're going to have to do it without fouling, and they're also going to have to protect the paint against the 76ers. But another, you know, kind of unfortunate thing for the Grizzlies is that as hard as the 76ers are becoming to defend, they're even harder to figure out when it comes to finding offensive success against them. You know, this over at Basketball Reference, they give a long line of statistical numbers for each team when it comes to themselves and their opponents. And almost nearly every one of the opponents' rankings when it comes to the 76ers is in the single digits, meaning just how effective they are when it comes to defense. And actually, in the month of March, despite being without one of the best defensive big men in the game, this Philadelphia 76ers team actually had the best defensive rating in the NBA. So just like the Grizzlies, these are two similarly built teams. The 76ers are probably a bit more talented because they're a bit further down the timeline. These are two similarly built teams in that they find their success in the paint, find their success shooting twos instead of threes, and also their identity is defense. Well, this Philadelphia 76ers team is absolutely making life rough for teams defensively. They're in the top 10 in March in nearly all defensive categories, especially when it comes to defending the three, creating turnovers, things such as that. So the big thing for the Grizzlies is that they're going, especially without Embiid, if the Grizzlies can find success being able to shoot from distance, the Grizzlies need to find balance, whether it be through the floaters, whether it be through hitting shots. They can't have another night. They're not going to be able, in my opinion, to find a way to win the game if they have a night shooting from the paint on Easter that they did on Friday night against the Timberwolves. If the Grizzlies go into tomorrow's game against the 76ers and they struggle to shoot the ball from the paint, I think it could be a long night for the Grizzlies. They're going to have to convert those shots because then that's going to allow for them to be able to find the shots from three that they're going to be able to hit. I don't necessarily know if the Grizzlies are going to have the same success shooting the three, you know, that they did, you know, on Friday night. They were very efficient from three in their first game against the 76ers in which they won, but it's going to be very interesting to see how the Grizzlies approach their game offensively. You know, as Taylor Jenkins said, he wants to attempt a lot of threes. This Philadelphia 76ers team, when it comes to teams shooting the threes against them, they actually are fourth in the league in terms of limiting, they are actually ninth in the league when it comes to limiting teams and making threes per game, and they're eighth in terms of, you know, limiting teams on three-point field goal percentage. So they're a top 10 team when it comes to defending the three. I think this Grizzlies team may find success balancing out their looks in the paint as well as their looks from the outside. But a big, big key for me is that the Grizzlies have to get back to featuring their strengths. They're not going to be able to beat this 76ers team if they're losing points in the paint, losing rebounds, losing fast break points, losing points off of turnovers. The Grizzlies are going, that's where this game is going to be won. If neither team is really expected to, you know, erupt, it's going to be an unexpected development for the Grizzlies to have another shooting night like they did against the Timberwolves, or for Philadelphia to have that type of shooting night. It's going to be won in those extra areas where you create points off of turnovers, second chance points, offensive rebounds, getting points in the paint. Those areas where the Grizzlies typically excel, they're going to have to play at their best in those areas. If they do, they have a very good chance of winning. But if they do not, that's going to make it even tougher for this Grizzlies team to be able to emerge. So playing to their strengths as well as defending the paint, I think are going to be the big focuses for this Grizzlies team. And whether Embiid plays or not, this Grizzlies team does have strengths about it that can allow for them to cause the Philadelphia 76ers trouble. But if the Grizzlies themselves are not playing to their strengths on offense, it could be a long night, because at the end of the day, they are facing a more talented team, a team that arguably right now is the best defensive team in the NBA. And so if the Grizzlies are not able to, find success through their usual avenues of productivity, or if they struggle taking care of the ball, it could be a long night for this Memphis team. But hopefully, we'll get off to a 2-0 start in April. It's these type of games where the Grizzlies do have the potential to be able to create ways to win, that if they can do those on a few occasions in April, it really could make their playoff pursuit a bit more realistic. Because the big thing that also came from last night is the Grizzlies now find themselves in terms of the standings in the Western Conference. This Grizzlies team now actually is in ninth place when it comes to the Western Conference standings, with the Golden State, who got absolutely demolished in last night's game against the Toronto Raptors. This Grizzlies team now is in ninth place. They're one spot out of the eighth spot. They're only one game behind San Antonio. But the big development is that this Grizzlies team now has a game and a half lead for the ninth spot in the Western Conference playoffs, and also a 2.5 game lead over the Sacramento Kings for just a spot in general. So they have a 2.5 game cushion, when it comes to a play-in spot. And they also have a 1.5 game cushion for the ninth spot in the West, and they're only one game out of eighth place. So this Grizzlies team, they've weathered the storm. They got through that stretch of games where they were playing Utah, and they lost all three games, but they have taken care of being able to beat both Houston and Minnesota, and now they basically have found themselves right back where they were beforehand. So the Grizzlies have done a good job of weathering the storm, 23-23. They've got a 2.5 game cushion now to have at least a playoff chance. Now's the time for them to be able to take what their experiences from March, build on them, and get some wins against better opponents. Get a few unexpected wins in a row, and that could really be the boost this Grizzlies team needs to really accelerate its efforts to have as good of a playoff chance as possible. Will be a lot of fun to see. We're going to be with you on Monday looking at reacting to the game, talking about what really stood out against a very quality opponent, a top 10 team in this league, in the 76ers, as well as giving you an outlook for the week ahead. Hope that you have a great Easter. Hope that you have a great weekend in general. You can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSEC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen. That's where we will be. And we ask that you listen, subscribe, and review. Let us know what you think of the show. We're always wanting to provide provide content that certainly is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.